You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change, we still keep it together.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans, are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode, storyline by storyline, character by character, as we break down the making of your favorite zip code with your host, Charles
Rosen. Did I say
that?
Yeah.
Mary Mullen.
This foolish thing about the real person. And we're going, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks TV crush worthy.
Like so many special guests. And all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
Well, here we are on the Story Slam, the first one of these things. I am so excited about this.
Premiere.
Big premiere night.
Well, of the staged reading, it's true.
But it's the first, the premiere of this workshop.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I know that
there's
Klieg lights out in front of my house. I don't know about you, but people are arriving especially for the after party.
Oh, the after party. That's where it's at.
Oh, there is going to be one today on Patreon. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
I wanted to join Patreon. Help you out here. Come on.
That's it. Exactly.
We got original fiction.
All right. I want to talk about this before we bring the originator of the person who came up with all this. I want to talk to you guys about this because this is the first time, I mean, since the reboot, right, that there's new 90210 content. What's cool about this is that it's not a reboot. We don't need to know where they are now. It goes back in time. It's the stories that you never heard of. So for you, Charles and Larry, how fun was it revisiting some of these characters? Larry, you wrote this first one.
Well, I mean, Chuck and I were both thrilled to all of a sudden have these voices in our head again and put stuff down. I have to admit, it was a little bit of a guilty pleasure. Didn't really want to do it at first because it's work, you know, writing, you know, we're used to, you know, professionals. We're used to, you know, having some, you know, someone say, hey, do this. Here's the money. just to take this in, it was really fun to get back to it. And what did you think, Chuck?
Well, I remember that the beginning, we you were going to the vineyard, so we knew we'd have a little time and space on this. You know, I kind of envisioned what we're doing, you know, that we would write some kind of script. You know, I didn't we put in some rules that we broke once, only once, but really guided things, and those rules pretty much came from Larry, which was not to have the put things in seen in an episode in which we've already seen it. So if we're going to do the spring dance, you know, you can't really show a scene that's already in the spring dance. You may be able to go into the spring dance, but not in the same way.
Right.
As if the timeline was elastic and we're just putting in moments that you didn't get to see. You know, sometimes they're over the summer, sometimes they're over the, you know, because our show traditionally would always be, you go through a weekend and then, you know, and pick up again. So it's just, sometimes it might be that Sunday night, you know.
Well, particularly, even before you came, where in like third season, maybe even at the end of the second season, it just was, it's Thursday night. Really the third season. It was Thursday night, Thursday afternoon. So we could get one day of school, the weekend, which is what everybody really wanted to see. And then whatever would go on, maybe sometimes on a Monday.
Exactly. That was it. That pretty much stayed once we got into
That's why the Beverly Hills 90210 show is on Wednesdays for our first airings, because nobody had claimed it. We were only Thursday to Monday.
I think, we had talked about doing a fan fiction idea with the fans. And again, we are in the Festival of Fans, and we're continuing the this month-long festival. But I want to say what happened was, and I want to bring Thaddy on now, because
yes,
it just kind of happened. Thaddy is from BH, which is Belo Horizonte, Brazil. Did I pronounce that right? Even close?
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, how are you? And, really you know, happy Larry, to be here. Well,
Larry, this thank was you. Initially
like
an idea.
Earmuffs. Like,
I want to tell what happens.
Well, real quick, Larry, before you say this, I wanted to tell you that Lisa says she appreciates how sharp Larry looks all the time. So there's
very sharp.
I was going to make sure
when you tell this story, you should know that information.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Lisa. Yeah. You know, and we were talking about doing stories, and then and what the fan fiction might be, and Thaddy, I think it was just over like a Facebook Messenger, she presented a story to me. But she was in it.
Right.
And I went, wow, what a cool idea.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's the way to kickstart this, you know, kind of contest. It wasn't a contest we were doing. We were just trying to open up a thing called Story Slam where people would submit things. And eventually we would actually do them as little plays, which is obviously
what premiere well, like everything that, and everything that's in American society, Western civilization, we didn't start it out to be a contest. But that right. ended up that way.
Yeah.
Right. You know, right. But
because only three of them out of the 10 we heard that we select to put some energy into.
Oh, well, my God.
Story Slam. Because we should talk when Michelle comes on, we should talk about that show, which was the first Story Slam show where people presented their ideas. And it was really
I'm so
a wild
excited.
Show.
I'm jumping the gun.
Yeah.
Yep, jumping the gun. But anyway, I want to just give thanks to Thaddy in Brazil before we go further, because without that kind of quirky idea she had of all of a sudden putting herself as the one who's the romantic interest of, I think it was Dylan at the college.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have happened. So really,
I'm still working on
that.
my Story Slam.
Yeah, I had
some ideas. After that day, I started thinking about, for example, what Chuck said and what Larry said. And I started working on my stories. Like, I haven't finished yet, but
okay. season two. But I, you know, I've just been so excited. But most of the things on this podcast, a fan suggested it, and we just rolled with the punches as if we created the entire concept.
It was a workable idea, and then it became something else, and it evolved. But I wanted to take the moment before we did anything to thank Thaddy and never let everyone know.
Thank you.
I also want to take
so good, Thaddy. Thank you.
It was really an honor. I would never imagine it would be something like this, you know. I'm talking to Larry and you know,
you reinvigorated Chuck and Larry about writing 90210 again. When I first approached them about an idea like this, they both said no.
Yeah, I'm crying.
The truth is that a good idea can come from anywhere, and that's kind of, Larry, I think you'd agree with this. That was kind of the vibe we had with our crew. Mm, you know, if Drew, they had ideas. Drew, you've met them, people who watch this show regularly. Yes. You've met Diane Kennedy. You've met Drew Kinney. Mm. They're people, Tom Fichter. They have Jill Henkel. They had ideas. And if there was a good idea, we're going with it. I don't care if you were the writer, this, that. And, you know, and if conversely, if a writer had a good idea about production, it's in there, because a good idea is a good idea. And Thaddy, you had a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do want to say, too, before we move on with the show, Peter Goldsworthy says this, and I think it's important to acknowledge. Chuck, congratulations on the new addition to the family.
Oh, yeah.
We should definitely.
A lot more roses.
We were on a Zoom when he was born, which was the best part, I think. So that was great. Yes. I love that. We were live.
Yeah, well, he's a very handsome little boy, and he's got a cousin, Judah, from my daughter and her husband, who have their second child, and they're born within weeks. One was September 18th, and the other was October 21st. So it's great for that generation to have each
good
other.
Cousin and, love.
Oh. And they're cute kids. So, yeah, Grandpa Charlie. That's what it says up there. So it must be true.
You really are making the grandpa thing. I mean, you've really, you're just rocking it now, because now it's multiple. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We went one. That's right. We're 3X now. It's like, oh, and really, two rescue dogs. So there really you go.
It's really gotten serious. All right, and let's talk to Michelle. Let's bring her on, I think, right? Because this
Michelle.
Hi.
Michelle is in Queens, New York, I believe, right?
Yes, yes.
That's right.
She is the only fan of the Atlanta Braves who lives in Queens, New York. But
She's a Yankee fan. I see her post. She's very good. She's a big sports fan. Her husband's a Yankee fan.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm with Mullen on that one. I'm on the Red Sox.
But, you know, Michelle came into this because when we did our Story Slam show, we asked our fans to submit stories of themselves within the timeline. We gave them the rules. And Michelle was the winner. I mean, and normally we would build up because we have two other ones we're going to present. But this one came together quickly and we wanted to show it to you. And Michelle had this idea about Dylan in Hawaii. And I mean, what was your experience, first of all, when you were pitching that day, that story show, that Story Slam show? That was pretty out there. You were very brave.
I was very excited. I was also very nervous, but I was excited to do it. I tried to come up with the best storyline I could possibly for Dylan because he was always my favorite character. And I just thought maybe it could be something because I remember him going to Hawaii with his mother. So I thought, you know, maybe he met a girl there. So that's where I came up with the idea.
I mean, that's the process we would do. You know, you think what you got available to you? You got a mom in Hawaii. You start thinking things just start adding up and, you know. And that was good. I think you got to kiss Dylan in the story, as I remember.
Yeah.
And of course,
that happens. It still happens. Yeah. I don't mean to spoil anything.
And more. But other thing was is that I remember when you pitched it, and Larry and I we talked about this. That I, you know, oh, you're going to be the girl in Hawaii, and I started thinking of, well, where do we slip into you into an episode? How do I slip it into this episode? That kind of thinking, and Larry was thinking about this, you know, a whole original take that was based on the paradigm that you presented, but it was such a good one. So as he's pointed out to me just the other day, maybe some of the other stories that we have with the character Michelle can actually come into play later.
Yes.
Yeah, basically, like you felt, what happened to you is what happens to all young writers. People take their work and change it. And and it becomes something else. But you were an important step in it. And we then took it somewhere. We wanted to make it a milestone moment for Dylan that no one had ever seen. And that's what we were shooting for. And then, let's face it, once we had it written, then we had to cast it. And maybe we have some cast waiting. I mean, should we just jump them in? What do you
think? Well, I think we should show it first and then bring the cast on to talk about this afterwards. What is your thoughts on that, Larry? We could do it either way.
What do you think? You know, I thought maybe we'd introduce the cast first. Maybe
let's introduce them.
I think we should talk about that show because that was also a show that we did where, again, Louise had to get up early in London to audition for the part. Jessica is in Chicago, had to audition for the part. Months did nothing. We cast him back. We knew we needed a Hawaiian gang member, and we knew there was only one in our mind. That would be
Ryan Thomas Brown. But I mean, I want to acknowledge that I don't see Tom back here, but Tom took the role of Dylan, which was hard role to.
I mean, it's walking in his shoes.
Let's hold Tom off and
we want you all to see Tom. But Jessica and Louise, you got up and presented yourself. We did a show called Open Call, and you basically auditioned like all actors do now by remote, but you were actually live. What was that experience like, Louise? You were up earliest.
It was quite nerve-wracking. I didn't think it would be, but and just reading a couple of lines. It was quite nerve-wracking, but fun all the same. I mean, what an experience to be part of. But it got the butterflies going for sure.
Well, that's good. That always makes you know you're alive.
What's
exciting here is because Jessica is Michelle. And now we have the real Michelle and Jessica here. This is like...
Oh, that's true. I need to acknowledge that. Where did Michelle go? You just killed her.
She got a cell phone issue, but she was offended by the thought of it.
No. Of course.
I'm out of here.
Look, we love Michelle. And actually, in our minds originally, we thought, the characters can play themselves. But, it's hard to be an actor, as everyone has found out. There's Michelle coming back in now. But Jessica, like, I met Jessica. I guess she's been a fan. I said, Mom must have responded to her. And then she actually read my first novel and reviewed it with her book group and stuff. And
yeah, I did it on my YouTube channel. I reviewed and recommended Larry's book.
Michelle, are you excited to see someone play you or what you developed?
She's having issues.
Oh,
there she is. There she comes. No.
Nope.
No.
Sad. It's sad.
She's just happy to be here, even if her technology.
Yeah, hold on one second. Okay.
But I just want to say, Jessica, is a graduate student at Northwestern. She's accomplished a TED speaker, but she had no acting experience, which I think shocked us because she's so incredible. In the,
Can I play the part of Michelle too?
Understanding.
Of course you can, and she will play Bobo.
Yes.
It reminds me when Seinfeld had the was doing the pilot, and they had a Kramer. It kind of reminds me of that. All right. I want to get into show this. I wanted to ask Munz, though, was it fun for you to kind of play a character and dive into one of these things?
Of course it was, yeah. And again, I apologize for probably not being at my best, but I'd probably been up for maybe 20 minutes.
In my opinion, you played him just perfectly.
Very Buddha-like.
All of you, show cuts together. You'll see.
I want to ask, Michelle, did you hear the question about what is it going to be like to see someone playing you?
it's going to be a little weird, but I'm excited to see her take on it and the finished product.
Had you ever met Jessica before?
No.
In the community? No. Oh, well, there you go. This is Jessica. Michelle, good to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Good
to meet you. But Louise, who's playing Iris. Iris McKay.
I saw her on the casting.
And Jessica's playing, obviously Michelle. And Tom is not there. Is he coming in or no?
I don't see Tom.
Okay.
He's not there.
Unfortunately.
He's not there yet?
He's not here.
When he does the show, maybe you guys, when watching the show, maybe.
Yeah, I'll try to see where he's at. Maybe Melanie can work on that.
So, I think we should say before we spool it, Pete did an amazing job on this editing it and stuff. Because, again, we should also say that Louise not only auditioned once, she had to go to callbacks just like all actors do, which is even more nerve-wracking because it means you're close.
That's right.
And she got the part. I mean, it just happens. And, so we have a mix in this thing of professional actors and, people who are just fans of of the show who watched enough TV to figure it out.
Yes. The women are fans. Thank you very much. And the men are professional actors
and Chuck and I kind of oversaw the production of this just like we would. And so it's a great thrill for us. And I hope you enjoy it. Now, all the other thing is this show is designed. I guess it's a 10-minute piece. Pete, is that something?
That's right.
That? It's designed as an audio play. Now, you're going to see the video of this kind of stage reading of the audio,
right.
Play, the edited version of it. So, in a way, you can close your eyes occasionally. But, I mean, we have such a good-looking cast, you might not want to. but that's how it's designed, and that's what we're thinking in the future, that we might be able to really have some interesting extra special content for people who love the show.
I will tell you that I know that this might not be the end of Story Slam, and I know that in the holidays there might be something coming your way that would be super.
And not to mention the next two potential weeks, we have two more.
We got two more waiting in the wings.
Absolutely, and one is one, and one and the final one, which we're going to do. I don't know. I mean, we don't tell who it's going to star.
Well, we did. I mean,
Jenny Garth is Kelly Taylor.
That's right.
That's already in the vault. We've already
recorded it. It was incredible. She was.
It
was so weird to be sitting there and hear Jenny Garth doing things as Kelly. I had chills, Larry. Yeah,
I did.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to remove all of our cast and just put this video up. And
Dylan's confession. So here you go.
Oof, okay. Premiere.
And hang around. You guys are going to come back on after it's done, and we'll chit chat about what it was.
And they have not seen it either. So
they have not seen it. Okay, and let's hope that, and let's just hope that StreamYard doesn't fuck us. Here we go.
Yes.
Okay, no one knows the real version of this. Not Kelly, not Brenda, not Bran. This happened way before the Walshes came to town, before I was at West Bev, during the summer of Iris and Jack's brutal divorce, where the goal was to go for the jugular and squeeze. They went to war over everything. Couldn't agree on anything except that their son, Dylan, was a mess. By the time I reached the end of middle school, I had already been kicked out of two prep academies, as well as a shitty little school for shitty, spoiled rich kids. My drinking had become a daily thing, and I just got caught smoking pot. My parents flipped a coin, and Iris must have lost, because next thing I knew, I was on a night flight bound for Maui.
Dylan, get out here. You don't fly 3,000 miles to stay in bed all morning.
I'm jet lagged, Iris. Go easy.
Get up.
Iris was in the garden. I was half asleep. There was way too much sunshine.
Hey, guys.
Glitch.
Issue, yeah. Glitch you. StreamYard cannot do anything in sync anymore?
It's just, it's crazy, guys. I mean,
well, we can't show it now. Can't do it.
Iris lived up country in a glorified treehouse in Kula with
Maggie. Well, the only way we can do it is the way that it was intended to be done. Let's start over. Let's turn off all the picture and just hear it.
Okay.
We can do it that way. It's intended to be audio, as Larry likes to call it.
Yeah, but it's just it is playing the audio, so it's fine if you just. But I don't know that I can remove the picture because there's picture on it. So we would just.
Have I know, to but we're going to tell people right now.
Forget the video.
Don't worry about the video.
Just listen to it.
Reboot. Close your eyes. Start again. Refresh. Reboot.
And I guess I should do my thing right before it again. You know,
there's no people like show people.
All right, I'm muting all of us too, by the way. All right, here we go. We're going to try this again.
Okay, no one knows the real version of this. Not Kelly, not Brenda, not Bran. This happened way before the Walshes came to town, before I was at West Bev, during the summer of Iris and Jack's brutal divorce, where the goal was to go for the jugular and squeeze. They went to war over everything. Couldn't agree on anything except that their son, Dylan, was a mess. By the time I reached the end of middle school, I had already been kicked out of two prep academies, as well as a shitty little school for shitty, spoiled rich kids. My drinking had become a daily thing, and I just got caught smoking pot. My parents flipped a coin, and Iris must have lost, because next thing I knew, I was on a night flight bound for Maui.
Dylan, get out here. You don't fly 3,000 miles to stay in bed all morning.
I'm jet lagged, Iris. Go easy.
Get up.
Iris was in the garden. I was half asleep. There was way too much sunshine. Iris lived up country in a glorified treehouse in Kula with magnificent view of the channel to Lanai. But all I could see were the two little bottles of Jack I yanked off the flight attendant's cart waiting for me in my suitcase. Walking to the patio, I turned a blind corner and tripped over the most perfect tanned pair of legs in floral board shorts. They were connected to a body belly down within a flower bed. Oh, shit. Sorry. I'm running on fumes.
No, my fault. I didn't mean to block the path.
What are you doing down there anyway?
The Plumeria, you know, needed some extra TLC.
She got to her feet and wiped off the dirt and fertilizer from her faded sleeveless t-shirt. She was as exotic as the blooms she was tending. I couldn't tell if she was my age or a couple years older. Didn't matter. Her smile was brighter than the damn sun.
Dylan, this is Michelle Ramos. Michelle, my son, Dylan McKay.
We shook hands, and even with Iris there, it was not at all awkward. Michelle was Filipino, something in the color of the coffee-shaved ice her parents served from the back door of their little fish restaurant in Paya. Iris was a regular, and before long, she invited Michelle to become her apprentice 3 mornings a week. A nice break from the drudgery and smell of a summer spent washing dirty dishes for her parents. Michelle went back to pluck her sick plumeria, and over a breakfast of papaya, toast, and island-ground coffee, I had to listen to Iris bag on my father while criticizing me for being exactly like him. She was right. Like Jack, I wasn't listening. I couldn't take my eyes off Michelle, and she knew it. So when Iris went off to a yoga class, Michelle gave me a crash course in gardening, identifying all the flowers she's been tending.
This one is frangipani, that's hibiscus, tiger orchid, bird of paradise.
It all just dripped like honey off Michelle's lips that I so wanted to kiss, but I also wanted to get into my suitcase. I came back with the little bottles and offered her one. She cringed, told me she comes from a long line of drunks, adding that the last thing the islands need is another one. She then challenged me to pour them out and go 1 week without any booze, beer included. I took the dare, threw the bottles over the embankment, and moved on to plan B. Well, how about we score some pot? But it grows like gangbusters up here.
So they tell me.
You've never tried it?
I live in Maui, dude. Of course I tried it.
And?
The first time it made me giggly. The second time it made me sleepy. The third time I got paranoid. Who needs that?
Oh well, some fantasies pan out better than others. I headed back up the path to the house to lick my wounds when the sweetest words a Southern California boy could hope to hear came tumbling out her mouth.
Hey Dylan, do you surf?
Is water wet?
Tomorrow, early, I'll show you my spot.
We headed down to the coast in a rusted Jeep before the sun decided to come out and join us. She turned off a windy dirt road past a sign that warned that trespassers would be prosecuted and continued until we reached a white sand beach with the most brilliant turquoise water you can imagine. We grabbed our boards and paddled out to a hidden reef where these pitched waves that started in Tahiti would roll in all summer long. We were the only ones there. In between sets, sitting on our boards, she told me how she adored my mother who believed in her and paid her like an adult. She hoped to be the first in her family to go to college to study landscape design, even though her parents expected her to work full-time after high school. Man, listening to Michelle, I felt ashamed how unmotivated I'd become. How unfocused, ashamed how easy I had it. The waves were closing out, so we came in and napped side by side on the sand, wet skin on wet skin. Our eyes closed, but not for long. Chopped down VW dune buggy right out of Mad Max was coming for us with some large locals aboard. I'd surfed spots on Maui before I knew there were some serious island rules, tough beach gangs to navigate. Got to my feet to meet them like a young prince of peace when Michelle stopped.
Let me.
Michelle went straight for the leader, a tattooed Samoan-sized behemoth in cut-off jeans and chains for a shirt. That was Bobo. They spoke with that broken island dialect. The only word I could make out for sure was howl. Michelle held her ground, and eventually Bobo gave up his scowl and walked my way.
Baby girl says you okay.
I remember smiling. My chin remembers getting popped with a sudden and solid right jab, a sucker punch. I went down.
Oh, Bobo, what did you hit him for?
It's the price of admission. Welcome to my rock, bruh. Yeah, you can surf whenever.
Bobo was true to his word. I surfed my ass off there that whole trip. Michelle would venture out with me whenever she was free. Otherwise, we'd have lunch together with Iris whenever she would come to work. Speaking of Iris, I overheard her on the phone gabbing to someone about my improved attitude, crediting Michelle with my sudden transformation. Mom was right for a change. Being clean and sober agreed with me, and it must please Michelle since she was the one who initiated our first kiss. It didn't get crazy between us. We always kept it cool, a couple of kisses here and there, with a little heavier action on the good nights. I didn't want to push it, knowing I'd be leaving soon, especially since Iris warned me that her parents were impossibly strict and she was probably a virgin.
What about you, Dylan? Have you ever?
Oh, like anyone ever asked me that before. I mean, I was rich, lived in a hotel, so I must be a player, right? And of course, I never tried to disabuse them of that notion, preferring to cement my reputation for being mad, bad, and dangerous to know. The night before I was flying back home, there was a big locals-only party to celebrate Bobo's birthday, and we were invited. It was going down at one of the cane fields. Michelle really wanted to be there even more after her parents nixed it, so I became part of the deception. I promised her parents and I promised Iris to have Michelle home from the movies in Kihei by 10:30. The night sky was high, the moon could not have been fuller. Thai sticks and bottles of Oki were being passed around. Oki is the preferred bootleg booze of the island, made from taro root and sugar cane. It supposedly packs a white lightning wallet. I wouldn't know. Michelle made sure I didn't touch this stuff. But we did toke up a few times when the blunts got passed our way. A raggedy-ass reggae band was playing Bob Marley on an endless loop, and we sang along at the top of our lungs as we danced with our arms around each other. You got to lively up yourself and don't be no drag. It was still early, not even 8. Bobo orchestrated a drunken stony game of hide and seek in the cane fields. Michelle and I hid deep within the stalks. No one was gonna find us and nothing was gonna hold us back. We wanted each other and couldn't stop. I confess that for all my posturing, I had never gone all the way. And neither had she. We let our bodies lead and climaxed as one. Later on, there was a massive display of fireworks to honor Bobo. We were kids and all aglow until a barrage of misfired bottle rockets came down wrong and set the cane field ablaze. It got nuts in the smoke and confusion. We were caught on the wrong side of the highway and the wrong side of a promise with no way to get home till early the next morning. Michelle's parents were furious, grounding Michelle for the rest of the summer, making her quit her job with Iris to work full-time as a dishwasher. Iris was livid, making it clear how disgusted she was with me on the ride to the airport.
Your aura is warped. You're worse than your father. Now get out of my car.
On the flight back, I scored 2 Jacks and a Tanqueray off the beverage cart. Back home in Beverly Hills, I never told anyone about Michelle. I didn't want to cheapen what we had. Michelle was my first. I was hers. Now you know.
Wow.
Go ahead.
It was beautiful, but Larry, they cut out the writer's credit.
I saw that where Pete just dropped.
Yeah, you know, nobody likes writers.
I know. Where's my producer credit, Pete? God.
No, there was a radio play. Oh, there was a screenplay or whatever credit we had, which it was me and Chuck. Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. But, you know, I listened to it. I didn't watch because I didn't want to get confused. It was really lovely to listen to. I was very happy with it.
I want to show you some of the comments that were being said during this thing. And I want to apologize for not being able to.
Also, Pete, I want to praise you just a second. You know, Larry, what you didn't see, because I was keeping it close and then I peeked and all of a sudden it was in sync. So managed to realize that when it froze up, he could just find a spot that he knew he could sync up when right there and sync it again.
It just kind of happened.
So we did have some sync moments.
We did. Okay, so this is what people are saying. Okay, this is brilliant. Jessica, Tom, and Louise are wonderful. Allison said he could be Luke Perry's cousin.
Oh, good. Totally.
Cousin Tom, yeah.
Totally.
Peter Goldsworthy thinks that he's ready for a surf after this. Mary B. says, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this. Our friend Sherry Weiss, who will be in an episode at some point, says, welcome to my rock, bro, the new. Welcome to the pitch.
Well, thanks for putting in context, Professor Weiss.
And Heather Melton says, just reminded that Kelly's name was Michelle in the 60s episode. So there you go.
Good pullback on that.
And then there was a lot of Brava. And
oh, nice.
Fantastic. Loved it.
Let's see our
kids.
We got to get Tom on here and give him
Is Tom back here yet?
No, he's back there. The cast.
Oh, great. Oh, Tom, there you go. So you hadn't seen that before, Tom.
Cousin Tom. That's who you are now. Your Dylan's cousin Tom.
Well, that's a high honor.
You were damn good, son. I you knew you would be when I introduced you to these guys, and there you were. And Munch, as Bobo as it comes.
It was great to have Jessica. Jessica, there you go. There's our cast. Bravo, guys. I don't know if you were able to see it all because we did have some freeze-ups. But yeah, like I said, I just listened to it, but you did get to see yourselves, right? Because, yes, you know, you all have some really wonderful moments. And
where is this going to live? Is it going to live on
YouTube?
We can just separate it and just have it on YouTube.
And social media, of course.
Yes. And hopefully it'll go viral, maybe.
Just
to the beginning, I think, you know, this Story Slam stuff is working. What was your impression of seeing yourself, Louise? Let's start with you.
I was cringing slightly.
we all understand that. And, you know, mine is the best of that. It's the hardest thing Tom will attest to. But, you know, we gave Louise a hard time because, look, Stephanie Beecham is from London. Louise is from east of London.
Absolutely.
And they dropped their G's at the end of like a gerund word. And so we were trying to help her, you know, we're trying to, you know, push her, like actors have to learn things. And she's not a professional actress, but she did a wonderful job for her. She got this
fantastic degree. Yeah. I want to ask Tom, though. I mean, you came into this and you're going to be playing Dylan McKay, the iconic character. What was this like for you?
Terrifying. I mean, really, you know, really exciting. But then once it sank in, yeah, terrifying. It was just terrifying. I mean, it's just such big shoes to fill. And, you know, my wife could not be a bigger fan, not only of the show, but also of Dylan. And had I hope this doesn't embarrass her to hear it, but she had a twister. Like a Beverly Hills 90210 twister game.
Oh, cool.
And when she was a kid, she bought it and then cut out Luke Perry, cut out Dylan, and just like put him next to her mirror on her bedroom wall so she could like see herself next to him.
Oh my God. It's like Leanne's cardboard cutout.
I know. Melody Belushi.
Yeah, I never thought to do that with hair. I really wish I had thought about that. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Tom.
No, it's just to say, you know, I mean, they're really big shoes to fill. And you know, he was such a terrific actor and it's such a beloved character. And it's the sort of thing that I would love to spend like months obsessing over preparing, And so, yeah, no, I mean, it was terrifying. It was agonizing to watch.
Tom is on himself, he actually sent me an email. Tom, I'm outing you now. He sent me an email in which he apologized for his performance.
We all can relate. Everyone has been an actor.
Seriously,
my 86-year-old mother would come back and say, "I should have done it this way." She was.
Oh my God! Absolutely. You were so good. It's so. Thank you. Tommy, you know, I appreciate that.
Says, says great job.
Yeah, and now you had never met Jessica either, and Jessica is not an actress, but she just lights up the screen, and you know she's
great.
We're so happy that worked out because. You know, we did, you know, it was an exotic character. And obviously we're in this era, not that we couldn't, because we have months playing in Hawaii, but we wanted something. And I threw it out to her and she just jumped right in. I'm so thrilled.
Thank you. It was so much fun. And to see the final product tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So glad. Yeah.
Months?
Yeah, well, I bet if he were around, John Hughes would want to be working with you even.
yeah, Chicago.
Mr. Chicago, you know.
Months, what about you watching this all come together? I mean, you recorded it very early during a cigarette.
I did a cup of coffee in tow. Honestly,
just like Bobo.
I thought it was really good, man. I thought everybody nailed their parts exceptionally well. Tom, you were a great Dylan. Don't beat yourself up, brother. It was awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, very good stuff. All right, so let's see. I want to bring back the original author here, Michelle.
Oh, yeah, so there you go, Michelle.
What'd you think?
I thought it was great, fantastic. You guys all played it perfect, and it was just great to see it come to life, and thank you to all you guys for, you know, introducing this and doing the Story Slam. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for doing it. And you had read it before, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we should also thank everyone who submitted to Story Slam originally, right? Because, I mean, that was really amazing. They bought into the game, and we had some fun with it. Now, you know, we're starting
to... Well, now you can understand the game. So if you get any bright ideas, Lisa, then send them on in. We'll entertain them. We're the best ones on the air, and get started.
Exactly. This is a new fun aspect here to the Beverly Hills 90210 show that we're all digging a lot. So I want to just thank the cast. I thought you all did amazing work. Tom, you were fantastic. And Jessica and Louise and Munch, you're always wonderful, as you know.
Thank you. Gravitas.
Yeah. So thank you, guys. And we're gonna stick around and talk about some more things that are happening, but we're going to say goodbye to our cast for sure. Great.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Yay.
I have no pants on. I can't stand up too far. Bye-bye, Jessica.
All right, guys. So what did you think of the first one? I mean, this is just with the four of us here now talking.
Well, you know.
No, I thought it was really – I did what Larry did. I closed my eyes, and, you know, it held together really nicely. Always good, but StreamYard. Pete, but you salvaged it, and right. I really encourage the people who saw it in a marred way to find us on the Facebook page, to find us on YouTube. Instagram, yeah. Wherever you're – pleasure
put
is
a clean version of it. Enjoy all. It. Yeah.
And tell us what you think.
And spread it around.
All right, now let's talk about what's to come next week. Man, I mean, doing another one. I want to just, because somebody asked this question, so I'm going to answer this question. Someone said, "When are you going to go back to covering episodes?"
I saw that, Chris.
Rude questions. Of course.
Wait.
This is the Festival of Fans.
Who ended the show? Who said no to the show? Is he the guy who quit Patreon? The same Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
And you're fucking listening to that guy? Seriously? Okay, you know what, Chris? As far as I'm concerned, for you, never.
No, we're just being rough here.
Take your love of Donald Trump somewhere else, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Before you criticize Larry and I and Pete and Melanie.
Yeah, okay.
We're doing this for fun. We're doing the picks. Exactly. And you... said some really nasty things to Pete, and I'm not going to let you get away with it.
That's all right. Okay, listen. Let's just move on.
It might have been a medication thing. Someone might not have taken their medication. We have to be very sympathetic. He might not have medication.
To answer that question, I am recording a bunch of stuff for the Patreon that will eventually air here during the show. Right now, we are focused. Yes, we are. But we're focused on the Story Slams because so many people put so much effort into these stories and the actors and everything like that. So I'm super excited about it. And the thing about it, what you guys don't even know is what's happening in December.
Oh, my God.
What I've been talking about is going to be so epic in relation to the Story Slam that you guys are just have no idea.
I can't wait.
Well, if you love the show and you know the whole saga, we're adding parts of it that you never thought of, little wrinkles, and I was just having some fun with it, and it was inspired by the fans, and that's why we're doing it. You know, there's no other reason. But I think the idea of the audio play though is working. When I have my eyes closed there, and your sound effects, Pete, really were working.
Yeah,
and you could see the promise of what you could really do with a little bit of a budget and some other stuff. You know,
I mean,
it was very good. You know, and then the narrator, it was nice. It was working well.
I have to tell you again. I said at the top, but hearing Jenny Garth get back into the Kelly Taylor shoes as the narrator is absolutely epic. And you guys have no idea what you're... That's a couple of weeks away.
Yeah.
Now, next week, we're going to be...
Let's just say one thing since we're here. Maybe we have a forum or at least a platform. We still have not cast the young Irish actor who plays with the young Kelly in the Story Slam. The young Connor.
I actually sent the email out to an actor.
Great.
Who I know can do that accent.
Great.
Amazing.
I also, you know, if there's anybody who has a friend who's an Irish actor contact us.
Yeah, you know, especially, you know, our UK friends who might, you know, have some Irish people around. But even the UK actors are so well trained they can do any dialogue. I mean, any UK actor.
Everybody in the European.
Remember that the character is in their 20s.
That's right.
Irish Romeo, tap dancer. We will need lots of tap dancing sound effects, Pete.
Mm. Oh, I can't wait.
Get those ready.
I would get them ready now. And then, but next even, week, next week, have, I think.
You could even have some rave up music in the background. That tips a little bit of what the scenes are, right? Yeah.
And, you know, we also have, we should be able to have the show, next Wednesday show should be the second episode of Story Slam, right?
It is.
The Fling, which was written by, started by Maggie Polo.
That's right.
And we have now cast the David character.
That's right. That's right. It's a pro actor. So do you want to talk about that, Chuck, or do you want to wait till next week to discuss that?
Well, no, I think we should be next week. You know what? I put a call out. You know, we're not, Larry and I, none of us are in the business now. So we're not talking to casting directors. And we really can't offer anything to a professional to come in and read something. So they either have to be kind of, you know, appreciative of 90210 culture to be that person. And this is somebody that my daughter worked with on her musical, Cruel Intentions, the musical. So I reached out to her partner on the Cruel Intentions, the musical, because my daughter with the two kids and her three writing assignments, you know, I'm not going to add anything to that plate. So called the other guy. He put out some feelers, and we're going to have a terrific fellow named Jared show up next week.
I think, we have our recording sessions Thursday and Friday. And so we should be able to
have that. And guys, you'd be very impressed. Larry's, as you might expect, doing the directing. He's in the front lines. And I just, you know, sit in the back like a producer whispering.
I agree with you that Larry's been doing a fantastic job at directing these, but you actually have given some really great notes to some of the fan actors. You know, you gave a smile tip. You gave some tips, you know what I mean? That
denigrating myself.
And all right, very cool. I don't see that, Melanie. So
we thought we were having someone else pop on, but I guess she's not back there.
No, she's not.
Oh, too bad. Maybe she'll come to the Patreon.
Maybe she'll come.
Yes.
Did you reach out to her, Mel?
It was supposed to happen. I don't know where she is.
Yeah, she was in the comments.
We're talking about you. Yes, like you have the link, right? Did I not send you the link?
Even if you're not all there, we're going to hold out and vamp for a couple of minutes while you. Your friends contact you and go, what are they talking about? Where are you?
I want to say I really loved putting this together too, we are vamping. I have to say too, I got really into the Dylan because I thought, I think casting Dylan is probably one of the hardest things to do. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Given the iconicness of the character and all that. But I thought Tom nailed it.
Couldn't have asked for a better actor. He, from top to bottom, I mean, I bought it. I bought it 100%.
Yeah. I mean,
as I said to Pete at one point, there's one regret I have, Chuck. We should have been able to figure out a kiss, like a Zoom kiss. Has anyone tried that? Like, couldn't there have been like a panel, like a
Michelle, we lean over like this type thing?
Kiss over there. Turn that. No,
that might be inappropriate, but like this.
Yeah, we should have done. All right. We should have been.
That was inappropriate.
No one's really done that. We have to.
So many levels of inappropriate.
And there's a good reason that no one's ever done.
Yeah, because that was really awkward.
The limitations of the medium.
All right. We have a special guest joining.
Because it's Halloween.
You got to turn down your background broadcast.
Come on, Leah. Let's not your first radio. Hold on. We'll take.
I can hear myself saying awkward over and over again.
There she is.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, hello.
It's Dennis.
The OG fan.
Dennis, right?
Is she in character right now? Is Dee?
No, I just look like this.
Okay.
No, I'm not Dennis. I am Diesel Stone.
Right. Do you remember this portion of the storyline when Nikki Witt was dating Diesel, David Arquette's character?
I play Akitar.
You were abusive. And he came on because of his relationship with Luke, actually. That's why he would be willing to do the show. And I'm so happy that you did, Diesel, because the other plot that we played against you did not match the vision we had as we were making it. But yours You were great because you played a really bad guy very well.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of things. What I would like for other fans to do is to send us your awesome Halloween 90210 things. Send it to us. We're going to share some of that. And also, maybe this can somehow, we can cut a little clip of this and get David Arquette to come join us on a future episode of the Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm. Leanne, did you wear this? Or are you wearing this at a costume at a Halloween party?
Well, I think she just hangs out in it.
Yeah, I bought this beautiful nylon shirt that's Ben's chest and back hair on Amazon. And then made my keytar. I am notorious for wearing costumes that nobody gets, and I always have to explain it. And this falls perfectly in line. This is more, I just thought it was funny of... I with like the Dylan doll and stuff, I would do things of like couples costumes and stuff like that with that, and then have evolved into my own 90210 characters for this. And the other day, David Arquette shared my costume in his Instagram stories.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Fabulous. Amazing. You know, yeah. I have to say, from following you, nobody has more fun than Leanne.
Yeah, you're good.
You've got somebody who's crazy enough to follow with you now too, which is sweet.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny too. My boyfriend, he doesn't approve of this shirt for some weird reason. I don't know.
He's got a lot of hair on his back. Is that it? Is that why?
Well, like his kids were like, "Oh, you're dressed as dad."
All right. So listen, this is great. I think I'm gonna see Leanne soon.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll dress like this. I don't know. Please don't wear that.
All right. Okay. This has been a great... We're going to say goodbye to Leanne. And then the four of us are going to say goodbye to everybody. We're about to do a
Happy Patreon. Halloween, trick or treat. Send it. Wait, does it have to be 90210 costume or just anything, really?
Preferred. But we'll take really good
stuff.
Find the Dylan's Confession video and you know, have fun with
it. Yes, share it widely. We'll be back for the news on Friday too.
Oh, we are.
Okay. We're doing an every week thing, so we can highlight some costumes on the news on Friday, right?
That was news to Chuck and I.
Well, we confirmed that last week, Pete. Yes, you were the one who said
that's right. We did agree that. That's right. Okay, guys, this has been wonderful. We will see you all next week where we're doing the next episode of Story Slam.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.